Now is the time in our service where we take a look at this question of release. What does it mean? What are we supposed to do with it? And how does it work? Charles Fillmore, one of the co-founders of Unity, wrote about the 12 powers of man, and they followed it along the 12 days of the Christmas story. But the 12 powers included life, love. One of the powers is release. And so yesterday in our Advent book that Unity published was this thing about release, and I think it sums it up. So I'm going to read just parts of it. The affirmation is, I release anything and everything that no longer serves my unfolding good. And that pretty much sums up what this first part of today's service is about, is releasing that what no longer serves us. As I release, I am lifted up. I lift up my mind, my body, and my soul. Each one of us carries an accumulation of all of our experiences, our dreams, our disappointments, and our actions. These can become quite a heavy burden if we don't regularly use the power and practice of release. When we hold on to something long after its benefit has expired, we pay the price. We pay the price for our happiness, and they pay the price of our freedom. At some point, it serves us to take inventory, identify what no longer is working on our behalf, and let that go. So that's really what this release thing is all about, is trying to identify those things that no longer serve us and to let them go. So in New Thought, we're taught that our thoughts create our reality, this law of spiritual mind action. And really, our physical world is where we paint our thoughts. If you think about your life, if I think about my life, and what I outpicture, particularly in relationship, that's a good place where you can outpicture it. Some things go really smoothly and are bright and shiny, and some things are not as smooth and not as bright and shiny. And so the question is, are they different? If I looked at the same thing, I was once in a circle where we had a rock in the middle. And everybody's perception of that rock around the circle was just a little bit different. Okay? So I may see a really smooth, shiny rock but as soon as I move over here, it's no longer a smooth, shiny rock. It may have a rough edge on it. Well, we carry with us all of these thoughts and our beliefs, our values, our histories, our opinions, things that have happened to us that bubble up again, and we go, well, why is that coming about? Why does this happen again to me again and again and again? Well, probably it's because we haven't done the work to let that go. That is to change our perception and not allow those past things dictate our future. So again, when I look out into the world, I start painting it with my thoughts about my past, my thoughts about my current condition, something's going on in my life that doesn't feel good, and all of a sudden my day's crappy. You ever had that happen? You wake up and things aren't right with the world, and guess what? They aren't right with the world the whole day long. And then some days you wake up and everything's right with the world, and it doesn't matter what's going on. It's all right with the world. Well, those are just as our internal projecting out. One of the interesting things about all this is that we do it on a regular basis. So as a kid, I may have been told that I can't sing, or I can't paint, or I can't something. And then sure enough, throughout my life, I'm going, well, I can't do that because I can't sing. Or I'm no good as an artist because I can't paint. In reality, that is not the reality. I'm as good as I can want to be. I may be a great singer. But if I believe, because somebody told me that I can't, I'll never discover that. And I may be a mediocre singer. But to me, I could be really great. And so I could allow that to happen, and it would just brighten my day. I could just sing my songs, and whether anybody appreciates it or not, doesn't matter, because I appreciate it. So that's what this release thing is about, is trying to identify those places And they create, you know, it reminds me of the Scrooge story, you know, that my actions during my life created these chains that I carry around in purgatory while I'm trying to, you know, become a better spirit. So, you know, Scrooge is there and his Marley shows up with all these chains wrapped on it. Well, that's the same kind of theory. Every time we have something that holds us back from getting what we want, it's just another link in the chain. And sometimes we do that consciously, sometimes we do it unconsciously, but it's accumulation. And so the idea of releasing is to break those chains, to refocus and reframe how we see the world, how we see ourselves in the world, how we see the condition that we have, or the circumstance, or the relationship, or whatever it is, whatever is not working. And let that go so that we can step into a place, step two, of affirming that which we are and what we want to create. So we don't allow our past to determine what our future is going to be. And it's not easy, I can tell you that. From my own experience, this is hard work. It's hard work in that I think, wow, last year I released such and such. I feel really good about that. That's day one. And come around to 364 days later, and I go, man, this is not working. What happened? Well, that's a hard one, because what is happening? Why, if I go through all this ritual, it doesn't seem to work? And I was thinking about that as I was preparing for this little discussion. And I think what it is kind of like the 12-step program. So if anybody's been in a 12-step program, there's 12 steps, obviously. So release is just one of those steps. Make amends is a step. Make amends to myself. Forgive myself for giving my power away to something else, a substance or whatever I've given my power away to. Allowing something else to run my ship, so to speak. And the other thing is, in the 12-step program, is providing gratitude. Even though the circumstances, the situation, the prognosis, all those things don't feel good, there's a blessing in them someplace. The hardest thing that I've had in my life is indeed my biggest blessing. Without spending any time on it, but you only get that when you get retrospect, I can tell you that. It doesn't feel like it was the biggest blessing at the moment. But there is a blessing in that. And part of spiritual practice and part of what we do here is to understand that there's always a blessing there. We just need to look for it. We need to find the blessing in the middle of the yuck and see that how it happens. So why can't we let go of these things? Well, here's my thing. First of all, I think that sometimes it's so embedded in my ego that I think it is me. And that if I let it go, I won't be me anymore. I'll be something else. Perhaps that the gain or that the pain that we suffered, there's a comfort in that pain because it's something we know versus something we don't know. If I let go of the pain, it could be worse. I mean, I could find deeper pain. Or I could find something else. I think there's a little fear in there. Perhaps it's just there's some kind of a glue that this thing stuck to. Perhaps it provided a trigger for my own protection, the fight or flight syndrome. Maybe that I hold on to it because I don't want to go through that again. So this is my trigger to make sure that I'm not going to be able to avoid it. Or perhaps I just don't think I'm strong enough. I just don't have enough willpower. Well, the good news is we don't need to know the reasons. And they may not even be all that important. What the good news is that we do have help, some really big help. We call it spirit, the divine, or God. So here's my take. So if God is omnipresent, omniscient, and omnipotent, then by definition, there's no place where God isn't, there's nothing beyond God's understanding, and there's nothing that God isn't bigger or more powerful than. So if you believe that God has that kind of scope, then giving it up to God lets God do the work that God does best. That is to transform and transmute. So our job then, I think, is to allow Spirit to do what Spirit can do. For all things work for good in Spirit. We know that. Because I didn't need that page, huh? Hope it's not the next one. So, again, when I was looking at the why I kind of hold on and those questions that I keep asking myself, I think, you know, when I look at this forgiveness thing, for me, it's about forgiving the circumstance. Thank you, Glenn. Don't mix up the pages, though, please. What we're really forgiving is the transfer of power that we've allowed to occur, that we've given our power away, our free will away. So that's the place to start for me. Start with, okay, I'm going to forgive myself for allowing this to happen. And I'm going to forgive whatever for putting me in this position that I did give it away. So I'm going to get through this forgiveness thing by certainly forgiving myself. And forgiveness means to give for. To give, forgive is to give for. I'm giving for myself the right to not give away my power and to let that heal. The second thing is the gratitude side, and that is also to find the blessing in everything and every circumstance. Sometimes that's really hard to identify. Other times it's a piece of cake. So that's the part of it. So now we're going to step into a meditation here in a moment. And this is a chance for you just to allow your heart to bubble up with whatever it is that you need to release, that no longer serves you. So it'll pop up. But I ask you to do two things once this thing pops up and we get through the meditation. On your little thin piece of paper is where we're going to write this down. Now, we're going to give this up to Spirit, so Spirit doesn't need a paragraph or a book. We can figure it out with a couple key words. But also, I want you to consider what the forgiveness is in that and what the blessing is in that and write those down as well. Who or what do I need to forgive, and what is the blessing that was in this release, this thing that I'm letting go? And see if that doesn't help us grok a little better and break, loosen up those chains. Because I don't want to use the chains of my past, especially the negative ones, to project my future. I want to be able to set my intention and allow that to unfold freely, without having these chain things dragging around behind me, my self-imposed anchors. So let's move into a meditation. I don't have the, where it is? Oh, here it goes. So we're going to do a chant, correct? Well, I want to take them into meditation with a chant. So why don't we do the chant, and then we'll go into meditation, and then I'll bring you back out.
Come.
Okay, I invite you to keep your eyes closed, and we just invite in the presence of Holy Spirit. Feel that energy of peace, of harmony, that quiet place. The place with a still small voice speaks loudly. So, Spirit, I ask, what is no longer serving me? What is holding me back from the good that I seek? What in my past continues to grip me? Is there an anger, resentment, a perception, a judgment that I'm holding on to? What persistent thoughts about me being worthy enough, good enough, talented enough, smart enough, that no longer serve me? Where have I stepped wrongly and not made amends, or come up short and wish I hadn't? So, Spirit, we thank you for the guidance. We thank you for the wisdom that's innate with us. Allow that to pour forth as we write it onto our paper. So as you come back into this room, begin to write your release. We'll play some little bit of background music. Sure to say why, what you forgive, and what you are grateful for as you let it be. So it is. As you finish up, I invite you to hold your release in your hand and repeat after me. I fully and freely release I fully and freely release. I loose and let go. I loose and let go. I let go and trust. I let go and trust. I let go and call forth my expanded good. I let go and call forth my expanded good. I let the flame of my desire, I let the flame of my desire transform these releases into universal energy. Transform these releases into universal energy from which to build anew. From which to build anew. And so it is. And we shall build anew.
Oh, so now that you've done release, it's time for the embrace, the vision quest, the going within and deciding what is it that you desire this coming year to hold for you, for those you love, for our shared world. Meister Eckhart says this: when the soul wishes to experience something, she throws an image of the experience out before her, and then she enters into her own image. Isn't that a beautiful vision? And so this is the day where you can listen to your soul, your higher self, and go, what is it that I want to cast before me and hold in light and then step into? Because that's what we're about. We're here to be the light in the world. We're here not just for ourselves, but for our shared world as well. This is the time of year where everyone, as the beginning of the year, tends to do resolutions, right? I'm going to go to the gym 5 times a week. I'm going to eat right. I'm going to pray and meditate every morning at 6 a.m. And by about the second week in January, it starts dropping off. Because when you are doing it based on resolutions, those are all based on the outer world and the appearance of things. It tends to be based on ego. And what is it you think you should be doing rather than what is it that makes your heart sing? Because if it makes your heart sing, you will do it however difficult it is. If it's a should, a have to, a must, we're very resistant to those, aren't we? We didn't have to put too many of those in here because we realize that we have a finite amount of time and energy in this realm. This physical realm is a place of spirit and soul, but it is also a place of polarities. This is a 3-year. You've got the polarities, but in the center, you have the place of oneness and of balance. I think one of the greatest gifts we can give ourselves as we enter into this coming year, as we throw that vision out in front of us, is to see us having more of a life of balance. I don't know about you all, but the last couple of years, I've lost that some. And I have to keep refinding it. The good news is it means if we're still seeking to refine it, we're doing our soul work. Because one of the things that happens when something comes back again and again, that may be your soul issue this time. And when you graduate from kindergarten, they send you a lesson that's first grade. And then it's junior high. Then it's high school, college, graduate school. We keep evolving. And if we're willing to say, you know what? This is a new year. I want to cast something out before me and step into it that is more conscious, more loving, more peaceful, more graceful than ever before. Then that is what you will step into. It's soul work. When we need to grow, that means we're doing what we've been sent to do. I love what Mary Manon Morrissey says. She says, when you're visioning, the universe can only do for you what it can do through you. It comes through us. So I'm going to invite you, rather than doing a resolution this year, set an intention. An intention is an inner creative vision of the direction you want to move toward. When a woman is pregnant, she and her husband, in fact, I talked to our granddaughter who is expecting our great-grandson, hard to believe, in the spring. And we talked about how that's a whole process of giving birth to something. That it begins within and you barely even know it's there, and then it grows. And then at the right and perfect time, you know the name. She was talking about the baby's name. And I said, go into prayer and meditation when you're sleeping and ask its soul to come visit you, and you'll know the name. All of this is going on even though the baby hasn't arrived and you're not holding it yet. The same is true for the intentions we're setting this day. Let it be something that you want to give birth to this year, something you want to nurture. Because when it's an intention and it comes from your soul and your spirit, you automatically will take care of it. Because you realize how important and what a treasure it is. And so this year, don't do resolutions, do intentions. And intentions are not to-do lists. A lot of times you read books, set your intention and it looks like a to-do list. In setting an intention is actually saying, I'm going to align with the divine presence in this unique vehicle that I am, and I'm going to take that energy and I'm going to craft it and create a gift that I offer to myself and to the world. All of us do this all the time, and to do it consciously is so profoundly important. I love this quote. The use of denial and affirmation and positive thinking is not turning away from reality. It is rather the activity of seeing the faults beyond the false appearances to a higher perception of reality. It's seeing things with a higher vision. Mary Manon Morrissey says, as you begin to vision that which you want to do this year, does it enliven you? Does it make you feel like you're coming into who you are? Does it align with your core values? It is an expression of what you truly believe, what truth you wish to stand in. I love her third one. Do you need a higher source to make it happen? She said, if you can do it without the mystery of the divine, you're thinking way too small. She said, will this help me to become more my true self? And will this be something that will help others? Because when you are standing in your truth and you are a channel for this divine creative energy, as you grow, you have more to offer and more to receive. Because you realize you are worthy. You are a child of God. It is said that extraordinary people or ordinary people who seek to uncover the extraordinary that already exists within them. We benefit others by choosing to cherish our own dreams. Don't live without living. Don't die an unlived life. Live a life that makes your heart sing. And so as we center in a moment to focus on what it is we want to put in the note cards that are like a love letter, an intention letter of divine presence to ourselves, I invite you to have some that are specific and some that are open and more global. Because when you have the specific ones, you'll go, oh, wow. I know what I need to do. Put it out, lay it in. Put it at the top of each month's calendar. And then put the global one, like, I want to feel more peace this year. And then let Spirit unfold all of those for you. Because you will find the specific ones come to pass in amazing ways. And half the fun is seeing how Spirit chooses to deliver it. And the more you open and set your intention, but then entrust it to Spirit, the more miracles and wonders will happen. And that's why I always love having a global, at least one, more peace this year. And then start to notice, what does that look like for you? More love, more wisdom, more grace, whatever you want, better health. Put that out there and see. And I could use any number of famous quotes about setting intentions, but I realized the one that I wanted to use as we get ready to go into meditation is one, now that you've released the chains, it's time to claim your wings. Let them unfurl. There's an old Scottish saying that I've used here many times that I love. Angels can fly because they take things so lightly. I want you to take setting these intentions, not the way we normally set resolutions, I will, I will, I will. Set it with something that brings you joy and makes you feel light of heart and spirit. This is not a have to, this is a get to. Remember that, not a have to, a get to. So here is my favorite deeply spiritual quote by the infamous Anonymous. Life is not a journey to the grave with the intention of arriving safely in a pretty and well-preserved body, but rather to skid broadside, thoroughly used up, totally worn out, and loudly proclaiming, wow, what a ride. That's the energy I want you to use as you set your intentions. I want you someday, as you go sliding into Spirit, to go, wow, what a ride. One that I consciously created with the divine. There is no better use of your time and your energy and your life than that. So I invite you now, we're going to do the beautiful chant, Blessing to the World. I couldn't think of a better one. When Clara suggested this, I said, this is perfect because this is what it's all about. So I invite you to sing this and allow this to take you into a space of meditation. settle now into this sacred space in which you allow your wings to unfurl. And you open in willingness to be the presence of the divine in our world and in your world with new clarity and dedication than ever before. Remembering that the universe can only do for you what it can do through you, open in willingness to receive the inspiration as to what is yours to do. What is yours to be? What is yours to give and to receive this year? How do you vision that which you would step into that brings you joy of spirit and lightness of heart, that uses all of the gifts of who you are? Remember, your time, your energy, your life is a gift from God. What you do with it is your gift back to the divine, and in doing so for all of us. So vision something that will enlighten you, that will help you stand in your truth, be more your true self, and something that will bless others. But most of all, make it big enough that the higher source, the mystery of life, will be needed for it to unfold, because therein lies the joy of soul work and the presence of the divine. Now take time and commune in the center of your being and vision what comes. It may be a surprise, it may not be, but whatever it is, just record it and know that this is a love letter from your higher self to the you who is embodied and present in our world. On the front, and then seal it, and then take it and hold it in your hands right now. And say, I fully embrace myself, my life and my vision. This is filled with grace and love. At the end of the year, I want to shout out, wow, what a ride. What a ride! Perfect!